Okay, we're back.
Well, I have to say, this is almost as much fun as what we used to do 5 years ago when we started these podcasts. I know it can't be fun for you because I'm going on and on and on. But, okay, what was this burning question that you had? Let's forget about that. I want to know the...
Here's the one that really got me riled. Now, you calmed me down afterwards, but it really got me riled. Let me read it for you. What Sid said was that while many people held him up as a religious icon, and we're talking about Siddhartha, Lord Buddha, to some, and even revere him as the Lord Buddha, that just as it was with Jesus, wasn't his intent. But his willingness to sacrifice his life as a means to end all sacrifice was something he had never considered. So who never considered it? Jesus?
No, Sid. Buddha never considered it, nor did any of the other 9 of my group. That's why they were having a hard time considering equality with Jesus, and he was insisting on it that we all, the other 9 members of the group and me, excuse me, at the time, had to accept responsibility of equality under leadership of our spirit parent, that he was not the chairman, we were all co-chairmen. And I guess I didn't make that clear in the article, but that became, in Sid's words, those words were what eased me over the edge of, why they revered him. And I remember something Baba said as well, Baha'u'llah, the guy that started the Baha'i faith, he was eloquent about how people held him up as a messenger of God, and Mu said the same thing. Muhammad said the same thing, and all of them agreed to a person that they wouldn't go as far as what Jay had done for all humanity, which was to willingly die, to give him, they all accept, and it's interesting because some of them predate him, but all of them in the realm of now, understanding the whole spectrum of religious thought and everything, they understand fully now what his death signified, and that was his willingness to end all sacrifice. And it was Moses that pulled out the thing. It comes out of Amos, I think. Away with your sacrifices and all that. And he said, we've learned, and Jews and Christians still don't get it. Muslims don't get it. Hindus don't get it. All hung up on sacrifice. And Jay did this to end all sacrifice. And it just, at that, that and Baha'u'llah's eloquence, we all tumbled in as a group to realizing that what Jay was calling us to was responsibility for doing what we were supposed to do, and whatever that is, under the direct leadership of our spirit parent together, and that we had to do this in equality without any leadership at all. Now, this has been a part of kind of my theology for many, many, many years, and it just has given substance to it, and I'm more, dug into that frame of reference now than I ever was before, because that's what it's all about. As long as you got some human leader that you can blame on or that you can hold up as, oh, you know, he's marvelous and he says wonderful things, then you're not taking personal responsibility. And all of us in a group around that table got what Jay was saying. So that's where I was coming from. Sorry I didn't make it very clear in the article. Why don't you just dump this article and I'll write a new one?
Okay, stop it.
Okay.
Just stop that line. We're not going to go down there. So the whole group accepted Jay as part of his mission to die as a means to provide freedom from guilt and death for anyone accepting that as the purpose. I got to tell you,
is that what I said?
That one kind of, yeah, that's what you said. And so that kind of flamed me up because that's one of the challenges that I have with Christianity, or sorry, Christians who view Jesus as the Lamb of God and the worthy, perfect sacrifice to restore this sin that Adam did and so on and so forth. And it's one of those paradoxes that tends to inflame me when I'm having any sort of deep theological discussion with Christians, because the answer is just a little bit further. It's in the very next paragraph. It wasn't God that demanded the sacrifice, but human beings. So I calmed down right after I read that.
See, all you had to do was not get excited. My, you really get emotional, don't you, Ryan?
Well, it's a tenet. It's the tenet of Christianity. It's the main tent pole. Hey, you're a sinner. Somebody died for you. They sacrificed. God sacrificed his son for you.
Yeah.
And you know, strangely enough, that wasn't what brought me into being a Christian. Right?
What did bring you into being a Christian?
I had to ignore that. I had to ignore the fact that there's this supposed loving God that would actually kill and maim and horribly torture his own son.
Son.
Like, hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, right.
Things? I don't want to have anything to do with you. You're a jerk. Yes.
Well, and they've spent 2,000 years in building precept upon precept to support that stuff. And when you start listening to what the horse, as it comes out of the horse's mouth, you begin to understand a whole different thing on a whole different level. You know, and it's a tradition that we've accepted and revered, and you know, it comes direct from the Roman Empire. It's an amazing process. And you and I spouting off are, if you think my article offended people, anybody listening to this, they're going to really get offended at you, brother.
They probably would. And, you know, in some of the images or graphics that I'm putting up with this article, I have a feeling it's going to incense a few.
Wow, we're going to lose a few more, huh? Oh, well.
Well, you know, if the truth drives people away, that's okay.
Yeah. Well, it's
true to me and true to them.
It's our point of view of a narrow slice of the truth. And
mm-hmm.
I say somewhere, I've said it over and over and over again, you know, God sees the whole truth, and there's no argument with the whole truth. And all these little different parts, we don't have to discard any of them. We just have to begin to realize that, you know, where they came from, how they got there. And I'm to the point now, I don't even care how they got there. What difference does it make? Does it work for me? And no, I've got something that works for me, and that's having Jay live in me. And one of the things I think I started the article with was that's how I started down the spiritual track. And that was, you know, hey, if you're real, come in and take over my life because I need help. He's still there, and now he's brought nine other guys to share, and some of the things I've learned over the past year have just been amazing. And they're truth for me. Does that make them true for everybody else? It doesn't have to. But I would say a few people have learned, like in our inner group, our core group, had difficulty with a concept to begin with, no longer have difficulty with. In fact, they want to do it because they see the richness of of what happens. So, anyway, sorry, that's a little bit of a sales pitch for it. I hope you're going to get. Are you going to get down to the note I put?
No, I'm not.
On the last page,
you're
going to leave the readers. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm going to leave that one far away. I'm going to just kind of slip out the back now, you know, kind of duck my head as all the Rotten Tomatoes come flying.
Okay. Well, see, the fact is that one of that we learned in Christianity is that Jesus loves you, Ryan, and he really does, and he still does. So
I'm talking about that, too.
And we're intimate with him enough that I can call him Jay, and he, all the rest of them call him Jay in my group. So if you don't like it, don't call him that. That's all. But he told me I don't have to believe anything about him. It just doesn't matter. And I can call him anything, and that doesn't matter. He still loves me, and he still leads me and guides me. And he's just brought along 9 other guys to help beat some sense into my mind. How's that for a close-off for the article? Can we quit now?
Sounds great. We should. I think we've done enough. Yeah, done enough, Dan.
Oh, boy, have we done enough. Say goodbye, Ryan.
Goodbye, Ryan.